Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind,
presented by FantasyDraft.com.
Hey!
Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate. Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday, it's August 19th. We have 15 baseball games, so a lot to talk about. Not going to spend a lot of time here with the intro because we do have 15 games, and to get through 15 games, we need some time. And it's not the Siege. Siege is on a whim on his way to Nashville. We missed the Tuesday podcast, so I contacted my dude, Derek Carty, and he said, hey, I'll jump on with you. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you thinking of me.
Yeah, man. Sorry to miss the Tuesday podcast. Everybody knew that it was it's my first miss of the season. So back at it. We're back here on Friday. A lot to talk about with this 15 games. It's a really interesting slate. After a slate where the two chalk pitchers and just about every pitcher got hit hard, we got to come back here and a lot of eyes on us here today.
Yeah, for sure. Last night was crazy.
Crazy is a good term. So if you guys haven't checked out our sponsor, FantasyDraft.com, make sure you head on over there, use promo code GRINDERS. That way you get incentives here at Roto Grinders for free for a year, and you get 100% deposit bonus up to $600. They have all kinds of cash games, all kinds of tournaments. Their Survivor Final is on Friday. If you guys missed out on that, they'll probably have another one up on Monday. So you guys check that out. Preseason action as well for NFL. Guys, check that. And let's talk some baseball. We'll start with Houston at Baltimore. Colin McHugh, Wade Miley. I have no interest in these guys, right?
No, definitely not. I mean, there might be someone who tries to get cute and play McHugh against Baltimore. But, I mean, I think if the Musgrove incident last night taught us anything, it's that this isn't that good of a play. Like, if you're going to play pitchers against Baltimore – in Camden Yards, I mean, as much as Baltimore has struggled over the last few weeks or like whatever numbers people like to cite, this is still a really good offense. And so it's not a smart move.
Yeah, I don't typically like pitchers going into Baltimore. I said it yesterday on the podcast with Musgrove. I didn't think that was the spot for him. And he's really going to be a guy that we target throughout the year, but that wasn't the spot. And this isn't the spot for McHugh.
No, it's not. I like Musgrove as a pitcher when he's in Minute Maid. I think he's going to be in play quite a lot down the stretch, but no, this is not a good matchup for pitchers. I have no interest in McHugh.
Let's talk bats here. We have a lefty going up against Houston. Jose Altuve is just having an insane season. Carlos Correa, George Springer, they have some really strong right-handed bats. Are you interested in any of these guys?
I have interest, probably a little bit more as a stack, as opposed to picking one-offs. Like, I'm not going to be paying for Jose Altuve today. It's a ridiculous price. I don't think Altuve is as good as he's been this year, especially his versus lefty stats. It way overstates just how good he is against a lefty, which is to say he's not as good as those stats indicate. And Miley is one of the best pitchers in baseball at preventing steals, so it's going to cut into the value of a guy like Altuve or Springer or Correa, who derives some of their value from running.
Yeah, I definitely think his stats are inflated, but I don't know, man. This guy is having an insane season. I'm not going to pay that price for him either. With that being said, I'm not going to leave him out of my Houston stack either.
Like, oh, no, definitely not. If you're doing a Houston stack, he has to be a part of it. I'm just saying that the price is too high for this matchup, and I think people overestimate just how good he is against the lefty.
Now – yeah, and you mentioned Wade Miley, you know, tough to steal bags off of. Springer, all these guys are priced so high that I feel like you're stacking Houston here. What's your thoughts on Marwin Gonzalez and Bregman, you know, being cheaper options here?
I mean, Bregman's not that cheap anymore. I loved him when he was, like, on DraftKings in, like, the $3,100 range. He's up close to $5,000 now on DraftKings, you know, in the 9,000 range on fantasy draft. So for me, I like Bregman's talent, but it's a little too high for me. And Marwin Gonzalez, I don't think he's a very good hitter. So
Yeah, I'm more interested in that guy's power. His ISO's over 200 against lefties. I think he's an interesting option, but if I'm stacking here, I probably play Bregman over Marwin Gonzalez, because especially on FanDuel where you got to play Gonzalez at first base, I'm definitely going to be looking there. Now, looking at Baltimore against McHugh, we don't love McHugh, but are we really going to like go out of our way to pick on him here?
No, I don't think we are, especially because most of Baltimore's best bats are right-handers. And so I don't think there's a lot of value here for cash games. If there's anyone for cash games that I might play in this game, it might be Gattis on the other side. He's reasonably-ish priced, I guess, and him against a lefty in a good power park is nice. This is one of those games where, like, you don't want the pitchers. You like the hitters, but you don't love them enough to pay up for.
Now, in a tournament, I think both these teams are stackable. I really do. It could be even a decent game stack. I have interest in Trumbo in tournament series. 8,400 on Fantasy Draft. He has power, and, you know, this is a good ballpark for him. So I have interest in Trumbo and Machado, but I like Trumbo's price more.
Yeah, Trumbo's well-priced. I can definitely see him as a tournament play. There's always going to be power upside in this type of matchup for him.
Miami at Pittsburgh, Garrett Cole, Tom Kohler. Tom Kohler, man, this guy's been pitching really well.
He has, but I don't know. I don't think I'm buying it. He's a guy who I kind of expected him to turn a corner for, like, years. Like, I loved his curveball. I always thought there was upside with him. So, I mean, maybe that's what we're seeing. But he's just been so bad for so long that I have a hard time buying into him.
Yeah, I guess, like, because when you're looking at it, like, nothing's really changed as far as velocity or anything else, but he's just pitching well. And, like, the hits are way down, and I don't think this is a terrible matchup for him, you know, in PNC against Pittsburgh.
I don't know. I would have a hard time rolling him out there, even in a tournament. I don't see a whole lot of strikeout upside against Pittsburgh, and I think that's the main thing that I think is going to hurt him. And two, he's expensive. I mean, he's more expensive than Cole. If I'm going to pick one of these guys, I think it's going to be Cole.
Yeah, I just realized his price. I'm so used to getting him in that 11 to 13,000 range on draft and using him as my SP2 because at that point you only really need, you know, 14 to 17 points, and he's been able to do that a lot. So, yeah, I think his price – I think the price might be, you know, the key factor here. Now, Cole on the other side, outside of Yelich and maybe D. Gordon or Ozuna, you know, the top four is decent, but the bottom 5, 6, 7, 8 of this lineup is just awful.
Yeah, without Stanton, I mean, it's not like Stanton was doing a lot, but he was always a looming threat. And without him, like, this offense, it's just not as threatening. Like, I kind of like Cole. I don't think he's at the top of my list for cash games, but it's a nice price and it's a pretty solid matchup.
We're not playing Cole on FanDuel at 9,100 though, right?
No, definitely not.
Let's talk bats in this game. Andrew McCutchen's starting to get it going. Like, was it injuries? What was it? We don't know, but multi-hits in three straight games now.
Yeah, he's a guy who, I mean, he's been well-priced forever and just hasn't been doing anything. So now that he's maybe starting to come out of it, maybe starting to get healthy, whatever it is, now he's maybe a guy we can start considering again.
Yeah, I like his price on Fantasy Draft at 8,400. I think that's really solid. I was hoping it's still, you know, down, but that's down enough that, you know, we're going to get McCutchen in a pretty good matchup here. Yelich is a guy that I've been playing a lot, but his price, man, that you want to talk about somebody that's overpriced, $10,000 on draft is just crazy.
It really is crazy, which is it sucks because, like, this is actually kind of a sneaky matchup for Yelich and for D. Gordon even more so, who's way overpriced also, because Cole really struggles preventing steals. So a guy like Gordon, if he gets on base, he could run wild, but you just – it's such a high price to pay for that.
Yeah, Gordon's hitting the ball well as well, but he's a tournament-only play, and you're knowing going into it like you're overpaying for somebody. That's kind of where I'm at with Yelich, too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same case with both of them. That's exactly it.
Anybody else that you like here?
No, not really.
St. Louis at Philadelphia, Adam Wainwright, Adam Morgan. I'm just going to let you have the lead here.
I mean, how is Wainwright so cheap? Like, Wainwright's a must play in your cash games at this price. It's as simple as that.
Well, you're the cash game guy, and you're telling me to play Wainwright. Like, I don't disagree with you. Like, this price tag, 13-2, it just opens up so much getting Wainwright against Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia is a pesky team, but they're one of the worst teams in baseball at home this season. So, like, Wainwright should outperform his price here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why he's so cheap. Like, I think it has to do. I mean, his last two starts, he got roughed up a lot. I think he gave up, like, 6 runs in both of them. But one of them was in Wrigley against the Cubs with double-digit wins blowing out to center field. So, like, I think he gets a little bit of a pass for that. I'm not a big Wainwright fan in general, but against the Phillies and against Adam Morgan, who should just get destroyed, I mean, I don't see how you don't play him at this price. There's just too much value there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you've sold me. Maybe you'll sell the listeners as well, but I'm with you. He's just too cheap. You know, I'm not going to play him on FanDuel. Like, 8,500, I'm not playing him. But on DraftKings and Draft, like, it's hard not to play him on a two-pitcher site with his price being so down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you want to be really contrarian in tournaments, stack Philly on those sites because he's going to be extremely highly owned.
Yes, for sure.
We have no interest in Morgan. Let's talk bats here. Anybody stand out to you here against Adam Morgan?
It's tough because, like even if you wanted to stack St. Louis, they don't make it easy on you because Matt Carpenter is going to be lefty on lefty leading off. Brandon Moss is probably going to be hitting third or fourth. So, I mean, I like some of the righties as one-offs, but they're a little expensive. Piscotty's really expensive. Even a guy like Tommy Pham, who occasionally will bat high in the order, his price is way up there. Maybe a guy like Jed Jerko or Johnny Peralta, but it's kind of it's always the case with St. Louis where you can't really know until the lineup comes out, but it's not like there's a ton of prices that are jumping out to me as really, like, extreme values.
So the other day I was writing an article and I was shocked by something. I kind of want to see how you react to this. If I told you somebody on the Cardinals has a 344 ISO against righties and a 0.077 ISO against lefties, who do you think it would be?
I would think it's Piscotty because people seem to get all in a tizzy about his numbers against lefties. So that would be my guess.
Would it shock you if it's Jerko?
I guess it wouldn't.
Like, I was doing the article, and I tweeted about this the other day. I was just so shocked that he's been so bad against lefties this season.
Oh, sorry, I had it reversed. So he's been bad against lefties.
Yeah, 0.077 ISO against lefties, 344 ISO against righties.
Okay, so that absolutely does shock me.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, it shocked me so much that I tweeted about it. I've been playing Jerko against lefties all season, and I guess I've been mistaken. Like, it's still one season sample sizes, but, like, it's definitely something to note because now we're getting in the top where he's over 100 at-bats against lefties this season. He's batting .231 against them.
So here's the way I interpret that. So I think it's definitely something to note, something that's going to be in the back of your mind and that you're worried about. But because the sample is so small, like, I would definitely expect Jerko to be much better against lefties than righties. And so if maybe people are looking at that and fading Jerko today, maybe his ownership is low in a matchup that I think is really good for him.
Yeah, solid matchup. When we're looking at 2-3 year data, you know, the numbers go up. So, my model factors in 2-3 years worth of, you know, data as far as hitters go. You know, I don't like 1 year sample sizes, but I was a little shocked by that. All right, Piscotty, you mentioned Piscotty. He's priced up here, but I think he's a terrific tournament play. He's one of my favorite tournament plays on the slate. I think this is an excellent matchup for him. Outside of him, man, though, I'm tough. I'm having a tough time trying to find that St. Louis guy that I want. Tommy Pham on FanDuel at 2,400, if he's up towards the top of the lineup, I guess he's in play there.
Yeah, that's a nice price for him. On DraftKings and Draft, where he's just well more than that, like he's probably a little too expensive.
That'd tell you something, too, that DraftKings algorithm. Anybody here against Wainwright that you would like?
Not really. I mean, No, I don't see a whole lot. Sorry.
Like I said, the only way I'm playing Philly here is if I'm playing him as a stack and I'm just hoping they beat the best pitcher or the highest owned pitcher on DraftKings and Draft.
Yeah, I think that's the way to approach it.
A game that I like a lot, Los Angeles Dodgers at Cincinnati, Bud Norris, Tim Adelman. I'm going to have so many Dodgers stacks today that I should buy Dodger gear.
I am not going to fault you for that at all. I'm actually kind of surprised because maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that these guys are going to be high owned. I haven't seen the Vegas lines yet, but even though we have Coors in play today, I like the Dodgers better than either team in Coors. Like, the Dodgers are far and away the best team in my mind today.
They're my favorite stack, and it's not close. Like, you know, obviously Coors always in play. It's Coors Field. Anything can happen in Coors Field. The ball flies, whatever, yada, yada, yada. We're looking at a game that's going to be in the mid-80s with a lot of humidity at Cincinnati's small ballpark with a team that's starting to warm up overall and a catcher in Yasmani Grandal. I talk about him every day. He is just ridiculously hot since July 1st.
He's ridiculously good. I mean, and
finally.
So you put that team, and they have so many good lefties against just a terrible righty, a terrible bullpen in those conditions that you mentioned. Like, this is ideal right here.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any interest in Bud Norris coming off the DL here? I haven't heard anything about it as far as limitations go. It was a back injury.
Yeah, so, I would have interest in him if he was going to have a normal workload, and I looked it up before this, and I forget what it was. I think it was, what did he throw in his rehab start? I think like 70 pitches or something, so he's probably going to be restricted to like 85-ish, I would guess, which is probably going to take him out of consideration a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so on the fence about guys coming off the DL. Like, some guys I'll play, some guys I don't. But Bud Norris is so cheap. I feel like he's a trap. We can just get Wainwright for an extra couple thousand, and I feel like it's a better spot.
I completely agree. The Wainwright spot is a much better one. I like the Norris spot. I do. There's definitely some downside. Like you said, it's a good park. It's hot. It's humid. But it is a good park for strikeouts. It's a weak Reds team. So I like the matchup for Norris, but I think the pitch count restriction is just going to eliminate any chance of him being cash game viable.
You like every Dodgers pitcher, any ballpark, any pitcher, you're always in for the Dodgers. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that asterisk out there.
Listen, Ross Stripling outperformed Jose Fernandez last night, so yeah.
Yeah, I won't say anything else. Dodgers bats, like everybody, right? Everybody. The top eight are in play here.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, on DraftKings and Draft, you're probably going to have to pick your spots a little bit. Like, you're not going to be paying up, you know, $5,400 on DraftKings for Adrian Gonzalez. But a guy like Corey Seager, you're definitely going to want to pay for. Josh Reddick, he's so, so well-priced. I don't see how you don't play him here, but he's been so bad lately. Like, if he doesn't do anything tonight, I think that's kind of going to be my cue to be like, okay, I'm off Reddick until he actually does something.
That's funny. I said he was a fantasy draft play yesterday. He's the first fantasy draft play again today. I'm going back to the well. Like, 8K on draft. Meat of the order. A lot of RBI potential. A lot of run potential. Like, I'm going to have a tough time not playing Reddick here at 8K.
That's exactly it. The price is just too low to pass up in a matchup this good. So, I mean, as much as you kind of are going to cringe at it a little bit, I think you have to play him.
If you're not playing Grandal on FanDuel, like, you're just doing it wrong. Like, why is he so cheap still? Like, they're drunk on Grandal.
I don't get it, but like you said, he's a must-play on FanDuel.
Looking at the Reds here, Joey Votto, I think he's in play. What are your thoughts on Billy Hamilton?
Billy Hamilton, I think, is overrated, especially now that he's just so freaking expensive. Like, people talk about Hamilton like, oh, his singles are worth 8 points. And, like, no, they're not. Billy Hamilton, when he gets on first base, he steals, like, he attempts a steal, I think, 40% of the time. He's successful, like, 85% of the time. So, no, his singles aren't worth eight. His singles are worth, like, 3.25. So,
you know, Billy Hamilton's a guy that I love to play. I'm a tournament guy. We're you know, completely different mindsets when it comes to it. But, like, that little streak where he was getting on base and just running at will, like, I made so much money off of that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. In a tournament, I absolutely love it because when he decides he wants to run, he can steal three or four bases in a game. But I think in cash games, people overestimate just how likely he is to get on base. And I get he's been getting on base a lot more lately, but I think it's hard to buy into for cash games. And I think people overestimate just how likely he is to get on base and how likely he is to actually attempt to steal.
So, you know, Draft and DraftKings, he's priced up. FanDuel, 3,200. I think that's where you'd want to play him, right?
Yes.
Their pricing. I just don't understand FanDuel pricing. Like, you guys can hear my frustration as I do the podcast because looking at Draft and DraftKings, it's so tough to make lineups and it's so easy on FanDuel. I'm a sucker for Scott Schebler. I play him way too much. He's really cheap again here in this matchup against Norris. Is he a guy that I'm crazy for considering?
Absolutely not. I am the biggest Schebler lover in the world, so I will be right with you on that. Anytime he's against any righty that's even somewhat mediocre in Great American, as long as he's this cheap, I'm going to be all over him. Like, he has good talent. He has a big platoon split. The park is perfect for him, so put him against any halfway not great righty, and I'm all about it.
Yeah, small sample sizes, of course, but Bud Norris has really struggled with lefties this season. He has pitched better this year. I will give him credit for that, but his hard contact rate against lefties is insane. So I'm definitely going to get sucked into the Scott Schebler thing once again. Toronto at Cleveland, Trevor Bauer against Francisco Liriano. Dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm not playing a lefty or a righty against Cleveland right now.
No, I would think that is the smart decision.
Like, it's just – you start to look at some of the numbers for the Cleveland guys, and it's just insane. But what are we doing here with Bauer?
I'm definitely not playing him. Honestly, I think Toronto is one of the better stacks of the night.
So, okay, I just want to throw this out there. We know Baptiste is on the DL, and Donaldson jammed his thumb on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? But there's a good chance Donaldson's out too. Like, I don't know. This could be a really weak lineup.
I get it, and if Donaldson's out, it would limit my interest a bit in the Jays, but I just can't do it. I'm not a big fan of Bauer in general. I think he's average, maybe slightly above average. And this park, like, this park is just so good. Like, it's just such a good park. I can't play a guy like Bauer in it.
This park is so underestimated. I definitely agree with you there.
Baseball. It's the best park aside from Coors for hitting. Like, it's that good. So a guy like Bauer who's not – he's not even like a great pitcher, like a guy like Kluber is who can get away with it. I just can't play Bauer.
I don't think I'm going to play him here, but if this lineup comes out and it's really weak, I'll probably get sucked in. Let's talk bats here. We'll start with Toronto. Like E5, Travis, and Saunders are where you want your exposure. If Donaldson's in the lineup, obviously you want him too, but these other three guys are in excellent spot.
Yeah, they are. The problem is that a lot of them are expensive. Like, even Tulo's price has gone way up lately.
He's been hitting the ball, finally.
Yeah, well, you would expect him to eventually. He's so good. People really just – when he's healthy, he's maybe the best shortstop in baseball, at least top three.
Well, watch your mouth.
Okay.
Get off my dude Trevor Story and Corey Seager.
Hey, I love Corey Seager, and I like Story too. But
I like some of these young guys, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of both of those guys.
But yeah, Tulo's good. Like, I'm not busting your balls. Tulo's good, and he's finally hitting. You know, that makes a difference in baseball. You know, when you're hitting the baseball,
that definitely helps you score points in DFS. I heard.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely. So Tulo's priced up on Draft and DraftKings, but 3,100 on FanDuel. This might be another spot where we can look at him on FanDuel, and he's too overpriced on the other two sites.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like that's a lot of, you know, what we're talking about today.
Yes, it is.
Looking at Cleveland here, I love Cleveland, so I'll let you lead off because I'm going to recommend like 15 guys, and they can only start 9.
Okay, let me throw out one Toronto bat first before we move on from them. I kind of like Siciliani, especially if, you know, with Bautista out, if he happens to be in the lineup, or maybe even if he gets a boost in the lineup, if Donaldson is out too, I kind of like him for the price. Like, he's a decent little hitter. He has speed. Bauer's a guy you can run on. So I kind of like him for the price.
I'm not going to hate on that.
Yeah, just as like a punt guy.
All right, Cleveland, Mike Napoli, obviously against the lefty, Mike Napoli, right?
I would have no problem with Napoli. He's more expensive than I want to pay in a cash game, but there's huge upside here with him.
Yeah, a lot of upside. I've been playing Jose Ramirez every day. Like, it's not a joke. If you look at my lineups every day on FanDuel, Jose Ramirez is in my lineup every day.
Okay, I was about to say, like, on FanDuel, I can see it. I was gonna, but he's on DraftKings and Draft. He's been so expensive. I was like, I don't know how you. He was 5,500 on DraftKings, I think, yesterday or the day before, and I'm like, who plays him outside of a GPP? I guess, but
I've been playing him. I haven't been playing a lot on DraftKings, but yeah, on FanDuel, like every day, 3,200 every day. I'm gonna play him again.
Yeah, the price there is a lot more reasonable.
Like, he's mashing lefties. He's mashing lefties at home. We talked about this ballpark already. Laureano isn't going to scare anybody. I'd love Ramirez again in this spot.
I could definitely get behind that.
Oh, any other Cleveland bats? Because, like I said, I could recommend all these guys.
I mean, it's really all of them. The problem is just that they're all so expensive, so it's going to be hard to get too much exposure in your cash games. But, I mean, they're all in play, especially the righties, you know. Raja is a guy that I would love to play here, but he's so expensive.
Yeah. The upside, I guess, but I feel like he's another guy. Like, he's a tough play here because of price.
That's exactly it.
Like, even if you're looking at FanDuel, like, I think I'd pay the extra $200 for Piscotty.
I probably would, too.
Oh, I almost got you there. You were really hesitant with that one.
Yeah, I think it's a close call.
Texas at Tampa, Cole Hamels, Matt Andreese. What's your thoughts here on Hamels against Tampa?
Hamels is my top pitcher of the day, honestly.
Ooh.
He's a guy that I don't play very often, especially, I mean, he pitches in Texas. It's not a good pitching environment. I think his skill level has declined a little bit, but the matchup's really good. He's getting out of the heat into a dome stadium today, which is going to be really nice for him. It's a huge park upgrade because Tropicana is so pitcher-friendly. He should have a good chance to win against Andreese, and he should have big strikeout upside against this Rays offense.
Tampa ballpark sucks. Man, I'll be there Monday for the Red Sox game, but I can't stand Tropicana. But I do agree. I agree that the ballpark is great for pitching.
Yeah, I think Hamels is going to disagree with you after this game.
I
love this park.
So we definitely bump him up even more if Forsythe continues to be out of the lineup, right?
For sure.
That's a big key. Like, this isn't the same Rays team at the beginning of the season that was just incredible against left-handed pitching either. We do want to note that. Like, they traded away some of those big right-handed bats.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Pierce is gone. Like you said, Forsythe's been out. So, you know, I think who else would they have?
Geyer? So, like, I'm not going to hate on the Cole Hamels play. Like, he's going to be a guy that I'm going to play today for sure. Man, I'm surprised that he's your favorite play in cash games today.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other aces going. I mean, Johnny Cueto is going to be a great play, I think. But I love the matchup here.
Okay. Let's talk bats. Is there anybody here for Texas that you'd like?
Not really, just because, like, you know, For the reasons I like Hamels are the reasons I don't like the Texas bats as much, because it's such a huge park downgrade. And you are going to get them at a little bit of a discount, which is nice. But, you know, it's still – I'm probably not going to force too much exposure here.
Nothing really stands out to me here for Tampa.
No. Who's – Yeah, I mean, the guys that I tend to play against Hamels are speed guys, especially when it's in Arlington and it's good hitting environment too, because Hamels just can't prevent steals at all. But you look down the Rays order, and the Rays guys with speed are, you know, like a lefty like Kiermaier, who you're not really going to play against Hamels. So I don't know. No one really sticks out to me.
Yeah, and this would be a lot of the first at-bats against Hamels for a lot of these Rays hitters, which I think plays into Hamels' favor.
Yeah.
Boston at Detroit, though. You want to talk about some game with some offense. Michael Fulmer, Rick Porcello. What's your thoughts on these two guys?
I like Fulmer as an above average, bordering on good pitcher. But that's about it for him. Like, I see some people still kind of treating him as like an ace because he keeps just dominating, and he's going to regress. It's going to happen, especially because he throws to a pair of really bad defensive catchers in Saltalamacchia and McCann. He has a bad outfield defense behind him. He has a bad bullpen behind him. So I kind of like some Boston bats here because they look pretty underpriced against him.
Any interest in Porcello?
No. I mean, he's so overpriced, and it's just not a great matchup. I mean, yes, it's, you know, it's Detroit. He'll hold the platoon advantage against most of the order, but, you know, there will be a little bit of strikeout upside. But it's just, it's not that great matchup that we're going to get for a guy like Hamels, or we'll talk about him later, but a guy like Greinke or Wainwright or whoever today to be worth paying that price for him.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting tournament play because, like, all this guy does is win. 8 out of his last 9, he's won. So, like, all he does is win. He doesn't get shelled. And nobody's going to play him against Detroit, so he should be less than 5% owned. That's where I have interest.
I don't dislike it by that logic. Like, from just a pure ownership standpoint, I don't hate that.
Yeah, that's all he is, though, right? Like, we're playing him because he's going to be low-owned, and he's been decent.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I would think his win chances today are a little bit lower than they've been recently because Fulmer isn't a bad pitcher by any means. But yeah.
All these bats, they're so expensive. Any time you target Detroit and Boston, these guys are expensive. But, man, why is Miguel Cabrera so cheap here today?
It's because the DK and fantasy draft algorithms love Porcello. I mean, he's super expensive, and so Miggy's price is going to be down a little bit.
Is he cash game playable at this price?
He's definitely in consideration at this price, although it's not like Porcello's really a guy you like to pick on, but it is Miggy, so he's someone you can consider for sure.
Anybody else here you like for Detroit?
No, not necessarily for Detroit.
Looking at the Boston side of things, you get some discounted guys here outside of Ortiz and Betts, who usually are our favorite targets.
Yeah, I mean, so I like Ortiz under 5K, but the two guys whose prices really stick out to me, Dustin Pedroia is $3,300 on DraftKings. He is $6,600 on Fantasy Draft, and that's just really cheap for their leadoff hitter who, you know, is going to set the table for this offense. And then the other guy that I really like is Andrew Benintendi. He is minimum price on both sites. Like, I get he bats ninth. I get that Fulmer's decent, but, like, come on. He's going to have the platoon advantage. He's in a pretty decent park. Like, I don't know. That's just way too cheap for me. He's the best punt of the day in my mind.
You know that I've been recommending this guy for ever since he got called up, right?
Well, great minds think alike.
Like, we talked about it the other day on the podcast. Like, me and Siege are probably the only people, like, that follow, you know, the Red Sox farm system. But, like, this guy's legit.
Oh, this guy's legit. I love his skills. If they were to move him up in the order and not bury him, like, he'd be cash game viable, like, a lot.
Well, we're just seeing they want a second leadoff guy. That's what they're hitting a knife for, right?
Yeah, I would have to think maybe that's part of it, or maybe they don't want to put too much pressure on him because he's young, or, you know, whatever it is. But, I mean, even hitting ninth today, it's just the value is there.
One other name that I want to mention here is Sandy Leone. Like, you want to talk about a guy that's hitting the ball well right now, and his price on DraftKings where you have to play a catcher, I'm really interested.
I hate Sandy Leone.
I know you do. That's why I had to recommend him.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely on opposite sides of the fence here. Like,
$2,700 on DraftKings today, though.
He would need to be minimum price for me. Like, he's been really good this year. I get it. But it's just come out of nowhere. Like, he wasn't even a bad hitter before this year. He was an awful hitter before this year. So, like, I have such a hard time buying into a guy like that. Because where is this coming from? I don't get it with him.
He's juicing. Who cares? Double digits in 6 of his last 7 games. Like, I have interest. I even have interest on Fantasy Draft at $5,400. But before we move on, second Fantasy Draft play, you kind of already touched on him, so I really don't have to talk about him that much. But Dustin Pedroia, $6,600 on draft today. Like, he's a guy you want to target in cash, and, you know, he's on the road here. So that even gives him more of a potential to pick up that fourth, maybe fifth at bat, and you get five at bats out of a guy this cheap. It's just he's going to score fantasy points.
Yeah, he really is. I don't understand why the price is so low, but he's a guy that I'm almost guaranteed to be playing.
Washington at Atlanta, Tanner Roark, Julio Teheran. Teheran coming off the DL. Any interest here in him?
Yeah, I want to check out what his pitch count situation is going to be like, but I don't completely hate him as a tournament play here, especially because the price is kind of nice.
Yeah, it was I think it was 73 pitches is what he threw on Sunday.
Okay, so then we're probably looking at about 90 today, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to target him here against just a Washington Nationals team that has gotten figured out right now.
Yeah, the one thing I would like about him is Tyler Flowers came off the DL, I think, yesterday, and he's a really good defensive catcher. So if he's in there today for Teheran, that would be a nice boost over the Anthony Recker, AJ Pruszynski show we've seen over the past few weeks for Atlanta pitching.
Flowers is good defensively. Man, that guy, he is so bad at throwing runners out.
He's great at pitch framing. So,
is he?
Yeah.
I learned something new every day. I did not know that. I know that he's thrown out two guys in 30-plus attempts this year, though. I love Trey Turner, so I wrote him up on Thursday. So that's the only reason I knew that.
That's what I was just about to say. That's going to work out well for Turner.
That is going to work out well for Turner. We'll lead into the bats, Washington. Do you have any interest in Roark real quick?
No, I tend to think righties against Atlanta are overrated. I'm certainly not paying that price for him. So no Roark interest.
Yeah. He just faced these Braves, in his last start, 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 Ks, like wasn't great, but you know, he pitched well enough, but
those 3 Ks are what sticks out to me. And that's part of the reason why I don't like this type of matchup, because even though this is a great park for Ks, the Atlanta Braves against righties, they just don't strike out. So, like, I mean, even if he puts up that exact line again, is it worth 10-6 on DraftKings?
No.
No.
No. It's not even worth $8,700 on FanDuel, even if you think he's going to win, because, like, yeah, you're going to need more. You're going to need more upside than that on today's slate.
Yep.
If it was a 5-game slate, he might be a guy we'd look at, but not this slate. All right, we'll talk Washington bats. You know, you already know that I like Trey Turner.
Yes.
So we don't even – that's not a secret anymore. Like, I don't even care what his price is. I keep playing him.
Yeah, I was playing him all the time when he was cheaper. I played him all the time in cores. But it's a little expensive for me now in Turner. Like, I get that maybe Flowers is easy to run on. Teheran, not as much. So I would have a hard time paying up for him.
I will say one thing about today's slate. Like, on FanDuel, where you have to have a shortstop, Trey Turner is the same price as Corey Seager. Corey Seager is going to be a lot higher owned.
Yes, and in cash games, I think you have to play Seager over Turner. But in a GPP, I can see the case for the lower ownership, I guess.
I would definitely play Seager over Turner in cash games. But, yeah, tournaments, I'm probably going to end up with Turner. I'll probably have equal shares of Seager in tournaments as well. All right, so Washington, outside of Turner, Murphy, and Harper, is there anybody that you like?
Not really. I mean, this is such a tough hitting environment that I'm going to have a hard time paying up for many of these bats.
Anybody from Atlanta that you like?
I'm intrigued by Dansby Swanson at this low price, but they've been hitting him so low in the order that I don't think this is the right spot for him. But I can see him possibly being in play one of these days if he stays at that price, if the matchup just hits just right.
Move him up. You called him up. Let him get us some at-bats up towards the top of the order. Yeah, outside of Freeman, I said this yesterday in the podcast, Freeman's really the only guy that I play except for against the lefty. I'll play Kemp.
Yeah, I'll play Freeman. I'll even play Kemp occasionally against a righty when he's around this price, but not in Turner Field and not against Roark. I don't love the guy, but he's a decentish pitcher.
Oakland at Chicago, taking on the White Sox, James Shields, Kendall Graveman. Any interest in Shields against Oakland?
Zero interest. I actually love Oakland tonight.
Hey, my job is just to ask these questions, that's all. You know that I don't like him, but I don't like Graveman either. I don't think Graveman's a very good pitcher.
No, I don't like either of these pitchers. I think you can make the case for a lot of batters against either of them.
All right, let's talk batters in this game. We'll start with Oakland. Who do you like here?
Like everyone. As much as Oakland like isn't a great offense these days, they are getting a huge park upgrade here. They're extremely right-handed, which is perfect for this park because it's such a good park for righties. And so they're power hitters, they're righty power hitters against Shields, who gives up home runs, and a park for home runs. Like a guy like Chris Davis, he's a little pricey, but the matchup is just really strong for a guy like him.
Yeah, 24 of his 30 home runs this season has been against right-handed pitching. Like, Davis is a legit option here on the slate.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Davis. Even though Vogt isn't a righty, he will have the platoon advantage. So I like Vogt. I think he's a pretty solid value on DraftKings and fantasy draft here at a catcher position that's usually pretty tough to fill. So I like Vogt, and I like Davis. They would be the two main guys that I'd be targeting.
What's your thoughts on the White Sox? Jose Abreu seems pretty cheap here at 8K on draft. Like, I don't like Graveman, but Jose Abreu has been a tough guy to figure out this year.
Yeah, he really has. I do like the price for him. Like you said, Graveman's not a very good pitcher. He's a pitch-to-contact guy with a bad defense behind him, which doesn't usually bode very well, especially in a hitter's park. So I can definitely see Abreu. I can see the case for Frazier. He's really cheap. You know, fly ball hitters like Frazier tend to do really well against ground ball pitchers like Graveman. So I like the power upside here for Frazier.
I think Frazier's in an excellent spot here. Like you mentioned, Graveman, a pitch-to-contact guy. Like, when we have Frazier against pitch-to-contact guys, those are usually the type of matchups that I'll target Frazier.
Yeah. Actually, hold on. I have a question for you because I was floored by this the other day. What do you think Todd Frazier's strikeout rate is, if you were going to guess?
If I had to guess, 21%.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Did I guess it?
No, 24%, which is like barely above average. But like a guy like Frazier, I would have thought was like well over 30%. It seems like he's striking out all the time, and it's not the case.
Yeah, like random guess. Like I didn't think he struck out that much, and you kind of led into it, so I kind of figured that it was low.
Mm-hmm.
I played my odds there. Yeah, that doesn't actually shock me that much. Like, the 208 average definitely strike that shocks me.
Yeah, but like having a 208 average without striking out an obscene amount of time, like it's just he's in an island all by himself with that type of thing.
Any other bats that you like here?
I can see the case for Valencia. That would probably be about it. Unless maybe, you know, we happen to see for whatever reason Marcus Semien is up batting first or second or something like that. But yeah, that would probably be it for me.
They've been hitting him up towards the top of the order lately, though.
Yeah, more often against lefties, but occasionally against a righty. So if we kind of luck into that today, I would be intrigued.
Yeah, he had second against the righty the other day. Look for some value out of these lineups. Like, this is a good matchup for both of these teams. Like, I would say that any of these guys under 7K on draft that draw a good lineup spot could be a solid value play for you.
For sure.
All right, moving on, moving out. Minnesota at Kansas City. Edison Volquez against Jose Barreros. Any interest in either one of these guys?
No. I hate pitchers in Kansas City, especially pitchers that aren't particularly good. I like Barrios' long-term upside, but right now I don't think he's definitely not in this matchup, no.
It's early. We're recording the podcast the night before. A lot of weather concerns in this game. So I'm going to just rule out the pitchers right now where I'm seeing, you know, for the first 4 hours of this game, 5 hours of this game, anywhere from 60 to 85% chance of rain.
That is quite high.
Bats in this game, though. Is there anybody from Minnesota that you like?
Maybe. I could see the case for maybe like a Jorge Polanco, who's been hitting second for them lately. His price is going up a little bit, so maybe he's a little more expensive than you'd want. But really, if I'm taking anyone from these games, it's going to be value plays. So, like, I don't know, maybe a Lorenzo Cain. He seems to be pretty well-priced these days on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. But that's kind of the way I would approach this game.
I've been playing Eric Hosmer on draft almost every day in this Survivor. 7,200. You can play up to 5 first basemans with the utility spots. And he's just always a guy that gets you fantasy points.
Yeah, I don't dislike him. He's a safe guy. He's not going to go off. He's not going to give you a ton of points, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, he's kind of where I'm at. I like the Lorenzo Cain. Brian Dozier, if you want a tournament second baseman, he's had some power this season.
For sure. He's a guy. I love his power. I like the Twins offense in general. I don't think this is the best spot for them, but as a tournament one-off, definitely.
Yeah, if you want to know how good Dozier's been, just click his game log and look at all the double digits.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to talk about it. It happens 81 times a year, Coors Field game. The Cubs, the Rockies, Kyle Hendricks, Tyler Anderson, these aren't the two worst pitchers for a Coors Field slate.
No, honestly, there's a good chance I'm going to have zero Coors exposure in cash games today. Hendricks, I think, is an ace. Maybe not an ace, but a borderline ace. He's a phenomenal pitcher. And I think Tyler Anderson is a really good pitcher. So I don't know. I don't see this being your typical, 10-plus run or 15-run Coors game. Especially where the prices are so high, I just don't see any values here.
Yeah, value is tough to come by in this game. Your value is usually what you're pitching, but you can even see by Kyle Hendricks' price, he's better than a lot of pitchers that we see that go into Coors Field. So looking at the bats, both these teams are in play. Let's just, go ahead and say that. Both these teams are in play. We've seen the Rockies beat up on Max and Strasburg. Both these teams are in play. It's gonna be hard to fit these guys in.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Obviously, Chris Bryant is going to be a good play. Javier Baez leading off probably is going to be a good play. I'm going to prefer the Cubs over the Rockies if I'm going to get any exposure, but I'm not going to pay these prices. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here. Looking at who I think is underpriced for the matchup, Dexter Fowler, if he's in the lineup, 9,600 on draft. He's really good against left-handed pitching. So he's a guy that under 10K that I could play. Solar, if he's in the lineup, he's under 9K. That's kind of it.
Yeah, even David Dahl, who we've grown accustomed to being dirt cheap in Coors, is not anymore. His price is just through the roof now.
Oh, but those 2 weeks of playing him every day at, 3K on DraftKings, it was a thing of beauty.
It was, except that for those 2 weeks, it seemed like Coors never did what you wanted it to do. I lost so much money to Coors the past couple weeks. It's just been...
You're going to fade it tonight, and it's going to be 10-9.
It really is. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, the Yankees head to Los Angeles to take on the Angels. Tanaka, Jared Weaver. Tanaka is so frustrating when you look at the numbers. The strikeouts were kind of down, and then all of a sudden against Cleveland and Tampa, he had some, decent strikeout games. What do we do with Tanaka?
I don't think you can play Tanaka today, at least definitely not in cash games. As GPP play, he's okay. But I would prefer a guy like Gerrit Cole. I would prefer, we haven't talked about him yet, but, Greinke, Mats, maybe even Julio Teheran. I like Tanaka, but like you said, the strikeouts aren't at an elite level. The Angels don't strike out at all. I would have a hard time playing him today. I don't think this is a great matchup.
Another thing that I want to note about Tanaka, he hasn't walked anybody in 3 straight starts.
I did not know that. That is impressive.
Yeah, that's really solid. I'm having a tough time liking him. I like picking on the Angels right now. Outside of the top 3 or 4 guys, the Angels lineup is awful.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. But the strike, even if he prevents the runs, I just worry that the strikeout upside isn't there, which even kind of takes him off the GPP radar a little bit because he doesn't have that, huge, 11 or 12K potential.
I'm with you. I find all his numbers interesting. He's always a guy that I never can get right. I don't love him here on the slate, so that means he'll probably pitch well. A guy that I don't like, though, Jared Weaver.
Does anyone like Jared Weaver?
Some people like will say like, oh, he pitches better at home because of the rocks, yada, yada, yada. I don't know.
Because of what? Because of the rocks? Like, yeah, his
arm, I read an article, like his arm angle, the way he throws like the 3/4 angle.
Oh, gets deceptive because of the way the ball. Yeah, okay.
Like, hey, who knows? Why is his numbers better at home? Maybe that's why. Who knows? Like, who cares? we're not playing Jared Weaver.
Yeah, I think also the reason, part of the reason why his numbers are better at home, because he's a fly ball pitcher in the best pitcher's park in baseball. Like, there's a lot of ground to go catch those fly balls. But yeah, Weaver, I'm not playing today.
Any Yankees that you like here?
Not really, just because it's such a big park hit for them and because you're not getting them at discounts. They're at Yankee Stadium prices in Anaheim, so I can't see it.
I like Ellsbury, 7,200 on draft.
Ellsbury's the one guy, especially because you can run on Weaver. If there's one Yankee I like, it is Ellsbury.
Yeah, he's my third fantasy draft play, 7,200. Like, leadoff hitter at Angel Stadium. The 4 at-bats are almost a lock at that position. And like you said, very tough to – very easy to steal off Weaver.
Yeah, very easy.
Yeah, Angels – outside of Trout and Pujols, like, I'm not going anywhere with these guys.
No, I mean, Calhoun's cheap again, so I think you can make the case for him maybe, but that would be it.
Yeah, 3K on draft, 6K on draft, or 6K on drafts, 3,000 on DraftKings, like, that's decent.
Yeah, that's not a bad price tag for him.
What's your thoughts on Sanchez?
I like him, but obviously he's way overperforming. So especially now that his price is going up a little bit, and especially in a matchup that's, you know, not Yankee Stadium anymore, I don't think I'll be playing Sanchez. So I'm a fan, but I don't think he's this player that we've seen the past week.
Everybody's been playing Sanchez. I've been playing Grindol. I've been doing fine. So I'm going to continue to fade him.
Yeah, especially in tournaments now where, like, I'd imagine his ownership rates are going up. I have no problem fading him.
All right, Milwaukee at Seattle, Wade LeBlanc against Brett Sutter. I guess that's who I have here starting.
Yeah, that's who I have too.
Triple-A pitcher this season, numbers aren't, you know, anything that kind of stands off the charts for me.
No, I have him projected as a pretty poor pitcher.
Yeah, he's not even in the top 150 coming into the season as far as prospects.
Yeah, he's a guy that you should not worry about too much.
What's your thoughts on LeBlanc? No?
I'm actually tempted by LeBlanc. Not so much in cash, but in tournaments today, yeah. Milwaukee will pick up a DH, but they will also take a huge park hit. It's a good park for strikeouts. They strike out a lot. And so even though I'm not a LeBlanc fan, I think the matchup maybe makes him interesting.
I can't do it. I can't. I kind of understand what you're saying. Like, outside of, like, the top 3 or 4 guys here for Milwaukee, like, the rest of that lineup's bad.
Here's the thing. If Wainwright wasn't a thing today, I might be tempted by LeBlanc in cash games. Like, I think this matchup is pretty strong.
Yeah, Milwaukee traveling to Safeco, getting a massive ballpark downgrade. So, like... I don't know. I can't do it. I'm not even going to say that I can do it. I can't even do it. Just being honest.
Go ahead.
Let's talk Milwaukee bats here. Ryan Braun back in the lineup. He should be the DH, we would think, right?
Yeah, they'll definitely have him as the DH today. Keep, you know, play it safe a little bit and make sure he's 100% again by the time they get back to the National League.
You're paying up for him here on the slate, though. Is that I like him for tournaments on every slate, but, like, you're really having to pay for him here today.
You have to pay for him, and it's really not an ideal matchup. It's a lefty, sure, but it's a bad park. I don't think you can pay for him today.
What's your thoughts on Broxton if he continues to hit leadoff?
He's interesting. I like his talent. I like his speed. I don't think this is a great matchup to display the speed. But going forward, he's a guy that I'll have interest in.
That's it, right? Jonathan Villar maybe as a tournament play, but you're paying up for him.
Yeah, I mean, Arcia has been cheap for a while, but again, it's not a great stolen base matchup, so maybe he's not as much of an option here. That'd be about it.
And the only place that I would play Chris Carter is on draft, where you could play multiple first basemen. I'm not using my first base spot for him here on DraftKings or FanDuel.
For sure.
Looking at the Seattle side, though, this might be a really good matchup. They might be really sneaky here, late game hammer type sneaky, because, like, honestly, Sutter doesn't even have a big strikeout rate in the minors either.
No, he's not going to be a very good pitcher. He's going to be a pretty bad one. And they're not actually overly expensive against him. It's not a great hitting environment, but you know, he's a bad pitcher. He has a bad bullpen behind him, so I think Seattle could be kind of a sneakier tournament snack.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Nelson Cruz, 8,800 on draft, under 9K against the lefty. Love me some Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz seems very underpriced today, so I like Cruz a lot.
Yeah, you can get some pretty solid value when this lineup comes out, you know, just kind of see where everybody's hitting, because these guys aren't expensive here in this matchup.
No, they're not. I would say, though, to cash game players, don't get tricked into, like, Franklin Gutierrez. He'll hit second. He has a really nice price against the lefty here. Don't get tricked into him for cash games. Guys like that, all these Seattle guys, Gutierrez, Daiho Lee, Lynn, Seth Smith, whenever they're playing against opposite-handed pitchers, they tend to get pinch hit for all the time, which just kills the cash game value.
One other name that I don't disagree with that. I like him for tournaments, but big difference. One other name that I want to mention before we move on, Hernan Perez seems underpriced here, and he's in a decent matchup as well.
Yeah, he's, again, a little more expensive than I'd want to pay for him in a matchup that isn't ideal for steals, but he's a guy that I do like when he's well-priced.
He got some pop. He got some pop.
He does. He does have some pop.
New York Mets, San Francisco Giants, Johnny Cueto, Steven Matz. Like, this is supposed to be the lowest scoring game on the night on Thursday night, and as we're recording, it's 8-7.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That's insane. Cueto's in a good spot here, right?
Cueto's in a good spot here. I'd say you prefer lefties against the Mets, but after Bumgarner last night, geez, yeah. No, you like Cueto here. Cueto is I said earlier I like Hamels as my top pitcher. Cueto's second best, and I could see him maybe being the best over Hamels, depending on the specifics of how everything works out here. You know, the Mets are taking a park hit. They're not a very good offense. They do have some good lefties, but I like Cueto. I think his strikeout upside's limited, but I think he's going to prevent runs and go deep.
Yeah, one other thing that we want to note, like, Neil Walker's banged up right now too. That hurts the Mets lineup even more.
For sure.
What's your thoughts on Steven Matz?
I like Matz a lot as a GPP guy today. I think he's one of the stronger pitchers on the slate, not at the level that you can play him in a cash game, but it's a nice park upgrade. We have low temperatures here. The Giants offense, it's been struggling, but it's still a threatening offense. You know, they have a lot of strong hitters, but they do have a lot of lefties that he's going to hold the platoon advantage against. And I think Matz is a strong GPP play.
With all these guys being so cheap, is there anything that stands out to you here?
Not really. I mean, it's always tough to know, I guess, exactly what the San Francisco lineup's going to look like. Like, Bochy just kind of does what he wants. Eduardo Nunez is a guy I'd have interest in as a stolen base play, but he's the most expensive hitter on any of these teams today, it looks like. So, I mean, he'd just be hard to roster at that price.
You want to guess who I like?
Let me think. Who do you like?
We talk about this all the time. Lefty-lefty matchup. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford.
That's right! See? you know, Brandon Crawford's a guy that I really like here. His numbers continue to be very solid against lefties. Belt on DraftKings, I can't play him. Lefty-lefty matchup at first base with so many first basemen and good matchups. And he's not cheap enough on draft, where 7,600, there's better plays at that price. But Crawford at 6,600 on draft and 3,300 on DraftKings, I have interest there.
Yeah, I could see that.
And, like, Matz isn't a typical lefty that I'll pick on with Crawford, but Crawford's numbers continue to be solid against lefties.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about those type of numbers. I'm not really buying into it, but you know, I'm not gonna hate against it.
Yeah, it's 3 years now, Derek. 3 years sample size.
It is. I still want more than that to believe a guy is. Reverse splits hitters are just so rare that like I can't believe in it.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, you believe in it or you don't. That's kind of what you know, that's where you have to be at.
The one punt I will mention here, maybe if TJ Rivera happens to be batting second, he's close to the minimum on DraftKings and fantasy draft. I don't hate him as a way to save money at a shallow position. I don't think I'll be playing him, but he's at least maybe a guy to keep in mind.
All right, last game of the night. We get to talk about another West Coast game, and we get to talk about Arizona at San Diego. We were chatting a little bit before we got started, and neither one of us are a big Zach Greinke person, but how do we not like Zach Greinke here against San Diego?
Yeah, Greinke's so overrated. I haven't played him a single time this year, and I feel great about that decision. I've played against him several times, but this is a matchup where this is probably the best matchup he's had all year, honestly.
Yeah, and the thing – all right, so, you know, when you're breaking down the slate, you always think, like, in this spot, I think Greinke's going to be super chalk. And then you see the Vegas line, and he's only a 135 favorite. He might not be as chalky as we think.
Maybe not, then, if that's the Vegas line. I mean, I don't think there's as much strikeout upside against the Padres as people tend to think there is. Like, earlier in the year, there was a lot. Nowadays, there's really not as much. So, I mean, I like the park upgrade. I think the Padres' offense is below average. I think there's some strikeouts here. But I don't know. Like he's a good play, but I don't think he's going to be in my cash lineups. You know, I'm probably going to be pairing Hamels and Wainwright. And even though Greinke's well-priced, even though it's a solid matchup, even though he's probably a top, I don't know, four option today, he is a guy I'd be saving for GPPs.
And, you know, for tournaments, I don't think he's an all-in type guy.
No, like, no, definitely not.
San Diego, they've gotten a lot better against righties, and they can, and they're degressing against lefties. So, like, this lineup with the additions of Shemp, Jankowski's hitting the ball well, Alex Dickerson.
Alex Dickerson, yep.
You know, even Solarte. Like, this lineup's a lot better against righties than people think, and like, if I roll out Greinke here today, I'm definitely going to have a San Diego hedge stack.
I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Now, on the other side, though, Jared Cozart, he's back in our lives. You know that, right? Like, Jared Cozart is back in our lives.
He is. I've actually played Cozart a couple times. Yeah, in the right matchups, I don't dislike Cozart. And for the price today, I don't dislike him today. I don't think he's necessary because of Wainwright, because of, you know, LeBlanc and Bud Norris and some of these other guys, but he's really well priced and it's not a bad matchup. He's you know, it's a good park. He's at home. It's a righty heavy Arizona team that he's going to have the platoon advantage against a lot of guys. They strike out a lot. He has there's a few ground ball hitters in this lineup that he's going to hold that kind of ground ball versus ground ball advantage against. Like, I don't hate Cozart.
Oh, I'm not with you there. A lot of the times we'll agree. The one thing that I do like about Cozart, outside of this season, but it's been, you know, only 36 innings this season, he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. So I will say that.
Yeah, he's a guy who you watch him pitch, and there are times where you're like, man, this guy could be good. Like, his curveball sometimes is, like, spot on. And then he gets rocked, and it's like, well, he's Jared Cozart. But, I don't know. I don't hate him as a GPP guy today as a way to just save all the money.
Yeah, I'm not on board. I'm really not. I think this game could be sneaky for runs because, like I said, you know, we talked about the San Diego hedge stack. The Arizona stack is in play here too as well.
Yeah, I don't hate an Arizona stack. I mean, obviously you prefer them in Chase Field. And I don't think Cozart is a horrible pitcher. So there would be quite a few other teams I would pick before an Arizona stack, but I don't hate it, I guess.
Yasmani Tomas, Goldschmidt, Segura, Jake Lamb, you know, Wellington Castillo. That's where I'm going here with Arizona.
I mean, if you're going with Arizona, I think those are your guys.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And we talked about the San Diego guys, Ryan Schimpf, Dickerson, Will Myers. Like, this could be a little sneaky hedge stack.
It definitely could be. I mean, there are some legitimately, like, quality hitters in this San Diego offense these days. Like, my Ryan Schimpf love is well documented. Dickerson and Myers are obviously really good, too. And Jabari Blash is, like, one of my new faves. Not necessarily against righties and not necessarily in Petco, but I don't know. I'm a big Blash fan.
That's interesting, for sure. It's going to wrap it up here for the game-by-game breakdown, but, you know, we have Coors Field. I let you have a Coors Field guy the last time we did a podcast. It's not happening again. You can't have Coors Field. We're going to play some Home Run Derby. Nobody from Coors Field. And I'll let you
leave. I'm definitely not taking any Coors Field today anyway. That was so funny because someone called me out on it. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I completely forgot that that was a rule.
I forgot, too, and I host this thing every day.
All right, so this is interesting. There's some quality options here. Okay, so I'm going to go with Chris Davis with a K as my first pick.
I love that call. He's a guy that I had written down. I love that call. I would go – I'd be way too chalky to say Grandal for the second straight day, but I'm going to say Jock Jams is going to yock one out of here in Cincinnati.
I like him, and I like Yasmani today for that. I'm going to go with Nelson Cruz.
Oh, the boomstick. See, I like that. Playing him against the lefty. I think we're starting to get on board here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. There's so many places I can go. I'm going to go to Safeco. I'm going to say Braun.
Wow, okay. Against Wade LeBlanc. I mean, this guy's a stud, right?
No. He's not.
No, he's really not. All right, so. All right, I'm going to go with a safe call as my official one with David Ortiz. But I will say, I like Jed Jerko's chances today, especially when I hear that he has, like, those terrible versus lefty splits this year. Like, I'm definitely not buying into those. I think Jerko has a chance of knocking one out today, a really good chance.
Oh, my last one. Man, you took Chris Davis. That's who I wanted to be, like, my finale guy.
First pick for me. Chris Davis is a stud today.
I don't know where I want to go with this pick. I honestly, you took the guy that I wanted. I want to go against Shields, but Chris Davis has the best chance against Shields. I'll go West Coast again. And it's crazy. I'm taking two guys from the West Coast games. I'm going to go Yasmani Tomas.
Interesting. Okay.
We mentioned Cozart, and I think that we could have a sneaky right-handed play against him.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a big Tomas fan, especially in this matchup, but I will give you some credit if he knocks one out tonight.
All right, that's going to do it for that. Pitchers today. Pitchers to pick up wins. We only have one guy over 10K on FanDuel that we're going to eliminate. It's Johnny Cueto, and I don't even think he's like locked in for a win today against Mets.
No.
So if you had to pick a pitcher, doesn't have to get the most fantasy points, but you think he's going to win, who would you have?
Honestly, I think it's Adam Wainwright.
All right. I can definitely get behind that. I'm going to go with Deer Man. I'm going to go Cole Hamels.
That would have been my second pick. I like that.
Yeah, a little chalky, I know. But, you know, if you had to guess who the biggest favorite is on the slate, who do you think it would be?
Like in terms of Vegas or?
Vegas, because the lines, I just happened to look at the lines before we got out. I thought it was interesting, but it's Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole, yeah.
Yeah.
I have him projected for a really high win total also.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here for the Friday edition of the Morning Grind. Thanks a lot for last minute coming on, Derek.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun.
If you guys enjoyed his analysis, make sure you guys check out the bat on Roto Grinders. It's half cost for the rest of the season. It's a great starting and ending point, so make sure you guys are checking that out. A lot of stats, a lot of data, a lot of everything go into the bat, so make sure you guys are checking that out. We'll be back on Monday. Make sure you guys are tuning in to Roto Grinders this weekend. We'll be live from the Bristol race with a lot of cool stuff planned. I'm going to do a periscope as I'm riding in the pace car going around the track at, I don't even know how fast they go around Bristol in the pace car, but I'm going to do it. So they got some media pace car rides. I'm going to take advantage of it, and you can go to Periscope it live. So make sure you guys are checking that out here on Roto Grinders. We'll be back on Monday. Good luck in your contest tonight, and we'll see you then.